with Pastor not in our presence, we still have a wonderful speaker on today. My brother, Giuseppe Colasano. I've had the honor of talking to this man on multiple occasions. And if you haven't had the opportunity, I encourage you to do so. This is a man who can't help but to make you smile, regardless of how you are feeling. Amen. Okay. And how many of you all know that laughter and smiling is good for the soul? All right. This is a man that would definitely pour in nothing but happiness. Mr. Giuseppe Colasano, thank you for coming out today to speak to us. May the Lord speak through you and be his breath. Amen.
Good morning, everybody. Good. My name is Giuseppe Colasano. For the ones that don't know me, my wife is sitting 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 on the seventh row with good friends of ours. And we are privileged to be here and to serve you. That's our purpose for being in Sicily. A little story before we get going with this word, which is the most important thing rather than me, on us. We've been here since 2005. I was born behind the volcano. I accepted the Lord in 1970 some years ago. I will live that way. We have three beautiful children. Joshua serves full-time as a pastor in a church in Michigan. Christina serves full-time as a Navy security personnel in California. And Benjamin serves full-time in his secular job and preparing to go to church to play for the Lord, drums. All three are very well musically inclined. I've been married with this wonderful woman this year will be. How many years, dear? 33 years. Some of you might have said, wow, why is that so kind of low? Because they're not all roses. Just in case. They're not all roses. Between the thorns, there are roses too. But with God's help, we can live a life here on earth that's fulfilling, even amidst the difficulties. And my wife can attest to it, the difficulties. We are missionaries here. We've been here since 2005, and the Lord has used us in variety of places. We just finished a month-long evangelization all over Sicily with a friend of mine from Indiana, where thousands and thousands of people had the opportunity to hear the gospel. The same gospel for which the reason you are here today. I hope my English is okay with you. You know, I mastered a little bit, but not very well. Anyway, the words for today comes between a discussion between me and a brother almost 10,000 miles away. But before we go to the word, let's pray. And when you pray, please do one thing. It's the most important thing that you could do today for somebody that is not here. Your spiritual leader, your pastor. People are leaving. We're sending away a family today. They need help to continue to work here for your benefits and the benefits of others that need to hear the saving word of God, which is Jesus Christ. Are you agree with me? I might not be like Pastor Andrew, but I'm telling you, that's the only thing I know how to preach. Nothing else. Let's pray. And let's remember Pastor and Mrs. Rhonda, okay? Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity you've given to us to be here today, free to be assembled together, free to read your word, free even to go play golf today if you don't want to be in your house. But Father, we are reminded that it's a blessing to be amongst brothers and sisters, that we might be a blessing to others. We pray for Brother Andrew in Palermo and Rhonda that you bless them. Especially you bless the ears of your word today. That they will be encouraged. They will be exhorted. They will be smiling to go forward. Like we have entrusted this family today that will live shortly the island. We entrust that your word may bring fruit in due time. Thank you for allowing us here to serve you. In Jesus' name, amen. So, when Pastor called me, I said, wow, what a coincidence. And I started to explain. I was talking with this brother 10,000 miles away, and we were talking about, we found a church around here, and they're a bit liberal. You know, they like to do whatever they like to do, I guess. I don't know how to define liberal. Somebody define liberal, somebody that comes in shorts to church, or without a tie, or with a tie. I don't care about that. Jesus Christ doesn't care about that anyway. That these are our preferences. And he said, well, you know what? You may be showing them the true Jesus Christ if they already don't know them. So we were talking and talking. I said, well, here it is, something that I want to share with you today. We were Facebooking. That's why I use Facebook. That's it. Don't invite me to play Farmville or Candy Crush Saga or I don't know. Somebody wrote, I just gave a life. A life? For what? In a game. You know what? You can tell somebody in the social media that someone gave a life in order that you have a life. You know, what's better way to use the social media? I remember when 30 years ago, when we still were communicating with a token on the phone. We were living in North Italy. We were communicating, and it will take so many tokens in order to speak for so long. And we were still sending letters 30 years ago. Nowadays, I just push a button, and already I can talk with my grandchildren and everybody else. So we have something better to share to one another. And so this sermon came about because I said, I have to do something about it with this. And Pastor rang and says, can you help and serve? I said, sure. I had something, and before you call, the Lord prompted me to prepare something about it. I said, what better occasion? Today, if you have your Bible, we're going to go all over the place. Hopefully, I can read some verses, and we don't have to go through all of this. We're going to talk about the three S's that came through this discussion. Three S's. So, but first of all, I want to start in a different way. What do you think about the word indispensable? When you think about that word, what do you think? I am indispensable. Nothing wrong with it. The brothers and sisters, they were indispensable here to the church. Guess what? They are dispensable. They're going someone else to serve. Now someone else has to come on board and take up the reign of the ministry that we're having here. And this word means many things to many different people. Is this thing working all right? Can you hear me? Sometimes it comes and goes. I found out this meaning on a dictionary, from which you cannot be freed from. Indispensable means from which you cannot be free from. Meaning it is an obligation. It is necessary. Without it, there is no results. Often it's misused a lot, misunderstood, because people don't understand the meaning. The question we have to ask ourselves is, are we indispensable? And I answer yes, for sure. In a way or another, we are. Each one of us is important to a different degree. With the Industrial Revolution, we have seen progress. Some people call it regress, but we call it progress. I remember when in an assembly line, you needed maybe 100 people to build a car, and later on the robots came along, and you needed just 3 robots to do the jobs of 100 people. No more indispensable people. You think, Wow. How is this progress helping us to go forward? People thought I am indispensable. I tell people here in Sicily, because everybody wants to go to America, the promised land. They don't know the difficulties are in America too. I said, if you don't get up and go to work, you're just a number. I remember another occasion. In 1994, I was in Honduras with my church on a mission trips. We did a couple mission trips during the 90s, and we were there to start building a Bible school. We had just bare ground, and we had to build the Bible school. All of us were around 30 people from Michigan. Nice time to go to Central America from Detroit minus some degrees to 70 plus degrees. We didn't have a mixer to mix cement. So what do? We need people which are indispensable. So we had 15 Honduran people mixing cement on the ground. Can you believe it? For us, a mixer will have done it. For them, the job was indispensable so that we can build the Bible school. For them, it was an indispensable job that they can make a living. Probably would have taken 3 to 4 people and a mixer to do the entire job, because we did just the beginning of this Bible school, and more team will come later on to finish it. Today we are going to see what it is really indispensable for anyone to be able, at the end of our lives, to see and live with our Creator, our Father, our God. So, we have these three indispensable S's. For some of you, it will be too simple. For some of you, it will be completely new. For some of you, it might not mean nothing. But these are indispensable if you want to live at the end of your life with God and to know His Son personally. The first one is salvation. And people look at salvation every day. Think about it in your job. Everybody looks for salvation. How I can get up of this mess? How I can do my job better? How I can be recognized? In every occasion, we look for a sigh of relief. And for sure, the relatives of flight MH17 were looking for some kind of salvation. 290 people died. No salvation from this kind of evil. We know that the ones they were on board, that they were believers in the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, they are with God. That's for sure. But a lot of people were looking for relief. A lot of people were looking for salvation. What is it, salvation? Where did it come from? Who is the author of it? Who needs it? It is indispensable? We'll look at it one at a time. Where did it come from? First of all, salvation is not of this world. This world doesn't offer salvation, only tribulation. If you remember in Genesis chapter 3, from verse 16 to 24, because of disobedience, because of your sin and my sin, the grounds on which we walk was cursed by God. And will create only tribulation, only difficulties. Who is the author of it? God is the author of salvation. Not only is our Creator and desire for us to belong to Him. On my papers here, I have the exact verse that I wanted to use in order to explain to you what salvation means or what is. It's Acts 14:12. Not there is salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Only one name, Jesus Christ. That's how salvation came to be for us. Through Jesus Christ coming on earth and dying at the cross for you and me, paying for our sin. Who needs it? You and I need it. Salvation is needed by everyone, by every living creature. Not animals, but creature. We are created by God. We were created to be His delight. In Romans 3:23, the Apostle Paul says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We come short of His glory. Our sin keeps us away from God. He's holy. We are not holy yet. This world around us needs it more and more. That's why these brothers and this brother and sister, when they're leaving, you don't know how many lives they might touch by people coming to church, by being able to receive this kind of love, which is a tangible love. It's touchable. It's not a love that we talk about this way. Something visible. They did the Christmas thing, you said? We weren't here. We were someplace else. But I was following on Facebook because Pastor posted stuff on Facebook. The program was progressing. And I think you had a good time. So, it is indispensable? Naturally. Salvation, if you're not saved today, it is indispensable for you to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, that you may one day you will see Him face to face. Forgiven, ransom is paid for all. Amen. Of course, we need it. It is something that we cannot live without it. It is in it there is life, in it there is love. It is because of love that we can be saved. You know, it's like I'm evangelizing again, talking about that, which is simple for the ones that are saved. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him has everlasting life. This is just a sum up of your life if you believe in Jesus Christ. We're going to get to something for the believer pretty soon. In it there is integrity. Where there is no blemish, there is no corruption. It speaks of completeness. It's whole. Please come with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, that we'll read a few verses together. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, from 42 to 54. So also is the resurrection of the dead, it says here. The body is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is only a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. And so it is written, the first Adam, man, became a living being. The last Adam became a life-giving spirit. However, the spiritual is not first, but the natural, and afterward, the spiritual. The first man was of the earth, made of dust. The second man is the Lord from heaven. And was the man of dust also are those who are made of dust. And as the heavenly man, so also are those who are heavenly. And as we are born the image of the man of dust, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly man. We have integrity in the sacrifice of Jesus Christ for you and me. We have to ask yourself, you as a believer, are you in this life only to win laurels? You know, when they do the races for the Olympics, they give that little green stuff, and they give much more nowadays. Or you are aiming for bigger things. We are reminded in Corinthians 9:25, which says this about these prizes. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. Thank you for being here. This brother and sister, we give a piece of paper to recommend them. but they have a highly recommendation that comes from above. They're looking at the final price. This is good for the remainder of the day to go and serve in another body of believers where they can be for the glory of God. That's what we should be aiming for, something that lasts forever. Or we in this race to receive our heavenly inheritance. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 and 4. Blessed be the God and Father, and so on and so forth. He has blessed us in heavenly places with our heavenly inheritance. So, as we see, salvation is needed. If you want one day live in the presence of God, if you're not saved, sorry, Charles, you are at the game. It's serious business. Jesus Christ didn't come here to have a walk in the park. He gave his life for you. I say you because someone in here needs it. I don't say so lightly. There will be no sense talking about salvation between 100 people that are saved. We should be talking about other things, which we'll get to it pretty soon. But if you are in need of salvation today, there are plenty of people here willing to share with you his love and share with you how to get in the way to heaven. 3 weeks ago, we did the same thing in this church because someone invited someone else to come to a Bible study before he left the island. And he accepted the Lord in pastor's office. Pray for Brother Uriel. He's in San Diego, getting out of the Navy. He started a new adventure in San Diego, but he started the best adventure here in this place of worship. Because someone cared to invite someone else. Salvation is needed. Without it, no one will see God. Salvation is provided by God through Christ. And salvation is essential to see and be in his presence eternally. Salvation is something done by Christ for us at the cross. We don't do anything less than realizing who we are, confess our sin, repent, and ask for it to receive the free gift. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. It is by grace that we are saved through faith, and that not of ourselves, but because of the sacrifice of Christ. Otherwise, we can boast it. I did it. Instead, sanctification, that's the second word that will come up soon, is something that we need to work at it. It requires efforts with the guide of the Holy Spirit. That's why the Apostle Paul encourages us in Romans 12, chapter 12, 1 and 2. And everybody knows that. In my translation, New King James says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Why? Because the Lord gave us an example to follow so that we grow in his image. What is this acceptable service that you, brother and sister, are giving to the Lord? He says here, reasonable. We use this word so lack some time. This is the reasonable thing to do. No, this is what we need to do. There's nothing reasonable to reason about. To prepare to be worshipful, either here and tomorrow morning when we get up again. We should have an attitude of worship. The first one was S, salvation. The second one is sanctification. Like salvation is essential for all to see God, sanctification is necessary for the believer to grow. You see, it starts with Christ. Once we are saved, the Holy Spirit comes into our lives to instruct us about our Savior and Lord. And I want to read you from John, the Apostle John, chapter 16, verse 5 through 15. The title says, "The Work of the Holy Spirit." "But now I go away to him who sent me, and none of you asked me, 'Where are you going?' But because I've said these things to you, sorrow has filled your hearts. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. And when he has come, he will convict the world of sin, and of righteousness, and of judgment. Of sin, because they do not believe in me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. However, when the Spirit of truth has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak of his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will tell you things to come. He will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore I say that he will take of mine and declare it to you." Wow. I see so many believers in my walk every day when I visit different towns. And it looks like they're going to a funeral. "Hey, bro, it's useless you come here on Sunday morning and jump up and down, and the rest of the week you're not jumping up and down. Either you jump today and jump tomorrow, and so on, and so on, and so on. Don't say, 'The joy of the Lord is my strength,' with 'The joy is the Lord in my strength.' Either is or isn't. Your talk should be like your walk, or vice versa, whatever is the saying. What I'm saying is, who we represent? We represent New Hope Christian Center, or we represent the Almighty God that didn't spare his son for us, that he sent for us on earth to die. And he didn't leave us alone. He says it, himself, he says it, 'I will send you my helper.' That means someone that knows me and will tell you on me more. That's called, I think, a revelation. When we read the Word of God, we receive revelations that before we didn't understand, so we can grow. This way we can be sanctified. You're not a saint yet, you know that? In his eye you are, because you were bought with his blood, and he sees it through that lens. But we'll be totally saints when we will be at this present. But this moment, we better get into it and grow every day. It's uphill, by the way. It's not downhill. It's not easy. And you know better than me. I don't have to tell you that. We are not alone. You see, sanctification started at the cross and continues with the Holy Spirit, like we have read before. The church is equipped to do Christ's work on earth. Why I say that? A lot of people, they say the same thing. "I don't know what is my gift. I don't know when they're going to see my gift. I think the Lord blesses somebody more than me." That's making the Lord a liar. He said, "I will never leave you." When he left, he sent somebody. He didn't wait 3, 4, 5, 6 years. "Hey, by the way, first you get your degree in science or in postmanship, and after I'll come and I'll be glad that you did that." He found you where you are, he cleaned out your sin, and he gave you the power. He gave you his power. You know, I've listened to a pastor here, but we have a power that someone does not have. Power has to do with almost electricity. That's how I experience power, when I put my finger where I shouldn't. I said, "There is power there." You know, but we have an intrinsic power that's inside of us because we asked him to come inside of us to operate us. And I look in the mirror and says, how dare you choose me that I'm ugly, I'm old, I'm not really that good at it. I said, don't worry about it. It's about your weakness that I thrive in. So that's what we have to realize. We are saved. Now we have sanctification. That's work. We have to work at it day by day. Listen to our brother. Listen to our leaders. So we can grow. These people, these brothers and sisters, are well equipped to revolutionize the body of believer where they're going to be. Like the brother that says, around here there are liberal churches. I don't know what it means. I hope they're free from sin. That's the only thing I want to know. Anyway, with God in the Word, we just get a glimpse of what looks like to be a real saint. You know, we are saint, but we are instructed and exhorted at one thing. If you go back to John 14, verse 2, it says, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. Me and my wife, we live in a nice apartment. It's not big, but we have plenty of room for ourselves. We had our friends from the States where we went all over Sicily preaching the gospel. And we had an extra guest that arrived, which was expected to come in September, and he arrived the day before our actual guest. I said, okay, when one can sleep on the floor, two can sleep on the floor. They get acquainted very well. Now, everything went well, actually. It was necessary that we had both of them at the same time, at least one for 2 weeks, and it was a blessing to have. And because of your giving and praying for us, we were able to go all over Sicily and share the gospel. And one place I wrote down, have you seen paint dry? Yes, I witnessed paint dry. We started the first painting, that's a sidebar. We started the first painting at 8:30, second painting at 9:15. And we put the paintings down. Said, well, the night is over. We wait until the paint dries so we can carry the painting. These paintings are 8 feet by 8, done by hand. And we said, oh, we had the 200 people at this painting, now the 200 at the other painting. Guess what? God has other plans. When you complain, he said, oh, now here comes your, I'll give you something to remember. My friend wrote down the, he estimated 1,000 people. I estimated between 2,000 to 3,000 people. They walked by the paintings asking what was all about. So I'm talking in Sicilian, in Italian, and sometimes in English. And my friends was sharing in English to all these people that just were going to see what these paintings were doing on the ground. And we were disappointed. More than 1,000 people were able to hear the gospel, maybe for the first time, from all over the world. This was in Marina di Ragusa. Nice place to be, if you can afford to go on vacation there. Anyway, but that's what God does when we think we are weak. He is strong. God is strong. Sanctification. It's a process. You see, and the world needs to see who you are in order to know who Jesus Christ is. I want to read you something in the Old Testament. This will let you know that I don't have just one passage. I have many. And after, I'll ask you one question. An old man wrote these things. The world needs to hear the gospel. The world needs to hear and to have a chance to know Christ. Do you have feet? Do you got feet? You know, I got mail, somebody says. Or you got milk. That was a commercial in the States a couple years ago. Do you have feet? Well, there was this old man that said, also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who will go for us? Then I said, here I am, send me. Isaiah chapter 6 verse 8. Around the same gentleman, the prophet says, he speaks of beautiful feet that are going all about and traveling and sharing his word to the people. Can you believe it that your feet can be so beautiful that can change lives of people? But in order for these feet to be beautiful, they have to be sanctified. And this is a process. We have an excellent guide while we are here. while we are here. Maybe I should drink water. Ah, satisfaction. I'm satisfied. Well, the water. You see, we have an excellent guide. He prays for us. He instructs us. He warns us. He reveals to us. He counsels us. He rejoices with us. He gives us power. Can you imagine his power in us? That's the Holy Spirit. We have already touched some of these that we've been talking about, like in Romans 12, 1 and 2, to be continuously in worship. The more of him in us, the less of us. The more of him in us, the less of this world in us. The more of him in us, the less of our own ambition rather than his ambition in us. You see, sanctification not only continues with the Holy Spirit, but someday will end. Your sanctification lasts from the time you meet the Lord Jesus Christ at the cross to the time when you exhale the last breath. Graduation day. With God, he ends. In the Word, we see Jesus, they give us a glimpse of what he looks like. We have read it. He goes and prepares a mansion for us. And I don't deserve a mansion. I don't know how to clean it. You know, when we talk about mansion, I'm talking about a humongous building. I was privileged to work in a castle in Michigan. And I said, a castle in Michigan? Yeah. Six garages, servants' quarters, and two bedrooms in the castle. That's useless. Well, there was a pool. There was a fitness center. There was a theater room. So, wow, that's what a castle is nowadays? Not bad. The Lord says, I have a mansion for you. Can you believe it? He has invited you to a mansion. Not a room, Holiday Inn, or Model 6. A mansion. Do you deserve it? I don't. You see, this allows us to be at the presence of the Father forever. We have a salvation. We have a sanctification. Now we go to the third S. Satisfaction. Satisfaction. Not the one that, those Rolling Stones yell about. The third S, satisfaction. Are you satisfied? Am I satisfied? But what it means? But really satisfy, or what it takes to satisfy you, is this presence in your life really there? That's why I'm talking about not today, guys. It's good, nice and warm here. Tomorrow morning is going to be a bit chilly, whatever you're going to be. And this God wants to be active today. Well, he was active yesterday, today, and tomorrow, or forever. And that's the same requirement that he asks of us. Don't rejoice only when you are in good company. Rejoice because I'm there when your brothers and sisters are not there. Satisfaction. What will it take to satisfy you today? Well, I became an American 4 years ago. Well, probably I was all along on papers. I was born in Sicily. I'm Italian too, anyway. If I were to talk about satisfaction, I would say, maybe I'll go to the Smith's today for lunch, a steak. Maybe with a glass of wine, this much. A lobster. Oh, if we were in the South Louisiana, some gumbo. Or, I got a better things, collard greens. Guys, I discovered, what was, my wife knows probably 4 years ago, someplace, I don't remember. I said, holy smoke. And we eat weeds in Sicily. No. Now we are eating. You see, satisfaction was accomplished already. It's already in the past. It was accomplished at the cross when God was satisfied. You remember at the beginning, God said, curses the ground, blah, 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 because of you and me. Now God is satisfied at the cross because the debt has been paid. We live in a new covenant. We don't live according to the law of you and me. We live according to the law of love from God to us. He's satisfied, and he desires that you and me can be satisfied to the fullest. Not only in words. It is finished, Jesus said at the cross. John 19:30. The Father is satisfied with the Son because obeyed willingly to carry my sin and yours. With satisfaction, peace comes and give rest. Not only satisfaction is accomplished, it continues. Can you believe that? Satisfaction in your life and my life, it continues. It doesn't stop. Because indwell us in power, the same power we talked about a little bit ago, about the Holy Spirit coming and living in you and giving the power that you don't have, in order that people might see who you are, and they say, I want it. I want to be like them. Some of you should be jealous of that. Jealous in a good manner, I mean. Because they're leaving anyway, so. So if you're jealous, you're going to be doing their jobs once they leave. By this they will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. If you love, that means you are satisfied. That's so simple. And we have the awesome privilege to be called ambassadors of God. Do you know that? Acts 1:8. And you will be my witnesses in Samaria and so on and so forth, Judea, Jerusalem, and to the uttermost. And he will give you the power to do so. And you thought that you were just a sailor, a postman, a mechanic, a wife. You are more than someone thinks. If you know him, you are a son, you are a daughter of God. Satisfaction is final when we find God face to face in his presence. When we hear those famous words, well done. Now you can come and rest. These are the words that we long to hear. I long to hear from our Father. And now we can rest after we have done his will on earth. It was a short message, I think. The three S's. Salvation, you need it. If you're not saved, today is the day that the Lord has made, and it's made for you. For the believer, this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice in it. For us to continue in his work, this is the day, and I rejoice because I'm saved, I'm sanctified, and I'm satisfied. Now, how you can apply these things, these principles, these simple words, for you and me? Salvation needs to be seen by others. I remember once I preached in Fort Bragg, Calvary Chapel. And I was sitting before they asked me to come up on and preach. And right in front of here, there was one word. Others. You see the empty chairs? That's what's missing. Others. Other people. Other people that need to hear the gospel. Or other sailors or service member that they arrived to Sicily and they don't know yet about New Hope Christian Center. They need to know about it, that they can be in a fellowship. I said once, I repeat more, thank you for leaving a good aroma. Because if you don't leave a mark here, you just left a stench. Instead, they left a good mark. And where are they going to go? They're going to leave a good mark. Sanctification needs to be experienced by us. It is a daily growth. And by being instructed by Him. Satisfaction needs to be tasted. Like when you taste an orange here in Sicily. You're not in Florida anymore. Really. Salvation needs to be seen by others. Sanctification needs to be experienced and seen by us. Satisfaction needs to be tasted by all. What you have, someone else needs it. Now we have just one thing to do. Go and do it. It's like a Nike logo, you know, do it or something. They copy from the Bible. When the Lord said, well, there is another one, Asics, anime sane and corpore sane. That's Asics, the word, that's a, it's a Latin word for Asics shoes. Anime sane and corpore sane. A healthy soul in a healthy body. Guess what? Where they took those words from? A healthy soul stays in a healthy body. Now we have a calling that everybody reads so often, but they forget one thing. Because first we found an excuse not to do it, because we think we are incapable, which is not true, because otherwise we don't have no power. If we don't have no power, we don't have no Christ. Instead, he says, go into the world and preach the gospel to every creature and do these things and so on and so forth. Don't forget the last word. Those are the most important words in the entire verse. I will be with you till the end. Are you saved? Are you sanctified? Are you satisfied? We can have these only in one person. And one person only, the Lord Jesus Christ. And as he does his job here in you and with your friends, you are his ambassador. You are his spokesman or spokeswoman. We have this power that is given to us because he says, I am with you till the end. May God bless you. And keep on praying for pastor as they travel back home, probably today or tonight. All right. Thank you for allowing me to share these thoughts with you. Thank you for being partners, because we are in the same business. We're not separated. We are going forward to preach His word, because only His word saved. Amen.